Okay, we're continuing in Bavavi on page Nun Ches. We're at the second paragraph from the bottom. The Tzaddik is telling us the difference between people who are in this world to take and who are in this world to give. And if we're in this world to give, it doesn't matter where we are, as long as we're in a position to give, which is always every position. It doesn't matter if you're in this world or if you're in the next world. So we're on the second last paragraph. Kol zman she'adam mechapes lekabel. As long as a person is searching out to receive, you always want to get. Hakesher shalol l'olam hazeh hu haduk. So his connection to this world is very strong. Hu yochel lahamir oso rak me'ahavas olam hazeh avas gan eden. Avol zu eino avas ha'emes. He can only lahamir. Lahamir is a Talmudic expression, which means to exchange. Can only exchange this world, the love of this world, if you can give me another world love. So the love of Gan Eden. If you give me a selfish, I'm exchanging the selfishness of this world for the selfishness of the next world. But this is not true love. Right? Because love, remember, comes from the word ahava, which is hav, which means to give, not to take. So ain't kan emes, there's no truth. Yesh kan rotzen atzmi, there's only independent desire. So he makes an exchange with the understanding that a truer good for me is spirituality. In other words, I'm upgrading from one thing that I like to a better thing that I like, but I'm doing it because it's something I want and I want to get it. But the person has to live in truth. Sheish Boire, there's a creator of Anachnu Nevarim, we are created. Vakadosh Baruch Hu Omer Lanu Dover Echad. Hashem says there's only one thing. Avodai Heim. They are my servants. Einenu Yochom Livroch. They can't run away. Yev Shlis Chakim. He can't get smarter than God. Can't outsmart him. Ganav Shugoynev Mishalom Kefil. If somebody steals in stealth and is caught, he has to be paid, he pays double. Gazan, if somebody steals right up front, a stick up. Mishal and Karen, you pay exactly what you stole. Avol shneim nisharu im klum be a dime, but they both remain with nothing in their hands. Similarly, Adam lo yachal ligzol me'olam hazeh lo yachal lignif. You can't steal from this world in any shape or form. That means you're taking for yourself. That's really what it is. If you take for your own pleasure and there's no purpose in giving back, then you're a ganif. God didn't give you anything in this world for your own benefit. He only gives you things in this world to see how you're going to translate it into avodas Hashem. If you take anything and you don't think about how you're going to use that for Hashem, you're a ganif. B'sof v'shel davar, and at the end of the day, we know with every ganif, lo yishar lo mekach mumah, you don't get anything. Right? You collected all this wealth and you just put it in the bank. That's it. So then what do you get from it at the end of the day? Right? Like I said, your kids fight over the Yerusha. That's all you get out of it. You don't get anything. Kesha'ara mefanim es adover, margishoso be'emes, humagia lakar mitishalov lavodas ha'ruban shalom be'emes. But if a person really looks deeper into the thing, he'll understand the truth. It will reach to him the true recognition that he has to serve God in truth. So, Hadvar Mamukim, these are very deep words. They need even more elaboration. But we have at least made an opening, a little bit, into this topic in this chapter, and to understand two reasons how it's possible to separate yourself from the love of this world. And let's just recapitulate them briefly. Aleph, number one. Ha'isnaskus tzricha liyos mitoy chavona she'olam hazeh hi bebechinas mayim meluchim. One way to be able to remove yourself and detach yourself from this world is from the understanding that this world is of the level of salt water. Me'gisha hapshuta she'odam mechapes es kirvas Hashem b'chol dover v'dover. And having a simple approach that a person should seek out the closeness of Hashem in everything in this world. And therefore you can understand that from this world, right, you get the opposite. if you're looking at it, the superficial way of life, right? You just get the opposites. L'chein, therefore, prishaso minyanei al-mazeh nasis b'toch simcha. Therefore, if he separates himself from this world, he does it with joy. V'lo mitach atzvus, he doesn't do it out of sadness. Ritzon elios b'elam abov lebom b'azeh. His desire is to be in the next world and not in elam hazeh. This is the world of falseness. And no matter how much we look at things, but we ultimately know it's the best it could be is to just connect us to Hashem. But it's not actually being in the place of Hashem. So you're not really giving up anything. Base. If you realize you're a servant of Hashem, and you're living for a God, it doesn't matter where he is, where station he's at right now. There's no disturbance for him to detach himself from this world and to enter the next world. If you look at it in terms of that aspect, which is higher than the first point, doesn't really matter where he is. If a person really turned these words into his heart, he will have a quiet heart, a quiet soul. That's how we all got into this, remember? We're getting into the meditation. And how you can be really quiet and happy is really think about how this world is so really, so false, and how really the best you can hope is to get to the next world. And then you'll have the ability to quiet your soul and your mind to establish set times of quiet. Make a calculation for the soul, cheshbon shel olam, which is ultimately your eternal calculation. You see, all this talk, and we don't have enough time to make the cheshbon. Now you begin to see how you could have the time. Because if Hashem would ask you to go to today, what are you going to tell me? You don't have the time? We're taking you to olam haba today. I'm sorry, I've got things to do. My boss will not be happy with this. I'm really sorry. You don't got anything to do. I mean, everything in this world is the salty water. The only real emes if you sit down and talk to Hashem. See, when you're in this state of solitude, there's nothing. You are out of this world. You're not engaged in one thing of this world. It's just you, and you're talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you're deeply meditating of the purpose of life, and you're getting deeper and deeper to get out of the salt water. So that's why the tzaddik is saying, you know, you really can't succeed in any kind of program unless you're really thinking about this, and this needs a lot of thought. And then you've got this equanimity, this quiet, because all the other things in this world, you realize, are narishkeit. Now, some of them can be tools to connect you to Hashem. We're not denying they could. So, but you really need a lot of quiet and a lot of thinking to know exactly how to use each and every one of these things as a tool for Hashem. And you could, you know, every day you could spend a different thing. You could think of your spouse as a tool for Hashem and go over so many interactions you have with your spouse, so many mistakes you make with your spouse because you assume your spouse is something else. But if you realize your spouse is a tool for Hashem, oh, all the friction gets way down. If you realize your kids are a tool for Hashem, you go through every night, you can think of another thing that's a tool for Hashem. You know, the friction goes down and the quiet comes into your life, and you don't take the superficiality of this world too seriously. Yazar Hashem Yishbarach Hashem should help us. V'chalechad meitan, every one of us. Kalechad me'achnesis, everyone from the Jewish people. Yiska l'chapes HaKadosh Baruch Hu be'amitas l'vavu, to be able to search Hashem with the truth of his heart. Mitolkach yimtzeinu b'lvavu p'nima, and he'll be able to find for himself this inner heart that he's looking for. So, yes. So this, I have a group. Me and some other rabbis, we just started because we're trying to work on our Avodas Hashem. So we meet Sunday night somewhere in private. So we're looking at a different Sefer. And so what I shared with you on Shabbos was a little bit of what we're learning in that Sefer. So part of the things that we have to do in our group is to look for that secret moment to do something for other people without anybody knowing, just doing it with Hashem, as we spoke about on Shabbos. So you can already see that this idea works. So this last night, so it's about 12 o'clock, whatever. So I'm tired, I want to go to bed, whatever. So I noticed that somebody in my house went shopping while I was out giving class. and left it all in the hallway, which is not an uncommon occurrence, you know, but you got, you know, raw meat and this kind of stuff and yogurt and milk and all this stuff, and it's been probably sitting at least for an hour or two. So the Yetzer Hara wants to go to bed, right? So I said, okay, here's my opportunity to do something. Hatznei alecha simashem lokecha. No one's gonna really know I did it. You know how it is. You know, the spouse, no, the others, no, whatever. There were other people up, but there were in other parts of the house. So, but nobody was on the main floor. So, this is the chance to just do something just with Hashem. Nobody will know that I'm doing this. And like I said, the part of things you have to say to yourself, I'm just with you, Hashem. So I'm humming along. It's just you and me, Hashem. So I'm taking stuff into the fridge. So I'm going into the fridge. So it's just you and me, Hashem. And so I want to put it in the bottom shelf. And the bottom shelf had some grape juice, a container that was sideways. But the lid was not secure, unbeknownst to me. So then I moved the thing. There's grape juice there. Normally I would react with a, you know, that little, like that beginning of upsetness. You know, like, oh, I said, it's just you and me, Hashem. It's you and me, Hashem. And I was smiling as I was cleaning up the mess. And I could say, who's the jerk who left the thing back? You know, I want to be kind, and the person who put the last grape juice in, you know, from all you know, it could have been me, you know. But put the last grape juice, put it in such a way the lid was barely on. It was like the way it was, that if you don't move it, the grape juice is on the bottom so it won't spill out. But as soon as you pick it up, says, it's just you and me. I have another thing I could do just with you and me. Clean it up, put the stuff away.
You know, it's 2 in the morning.
Nobody knows. And in the next morning, my wife's not going to remember that she left it in the hallway. I can't remember she left the stuff in the hallway. She's so exhausted doing everything else she's doing. So I'm just saying, so when he talks about in the other book how it deals with anger and all these things, it's because when you get used to it just being you and Hashem, then all those other things, it's... Because what I'm saying, yeah, Hashem, you want me to put this away. You want me to do this quietly. You don't want anybody to know about it. And as the grape juice spill out, and Hashem, you made the grape juice spill right now, and you want nobody to know that I cleaned the grape juice also. You know, so I'm saying that this system does work if you really put the time into it. So we should be able to put the time in. Right, any last questions on this chapter before we go on to the next chapter? If there's any points we haven't addressed, concerns we haven't addressed. Yes, Sam.
Psalm 30, King David thanks Hashem for not making him die, actually. That's what it means in a way. How do we interpret this? Like, he wants to stay here and live to serve Hashem. And yet we say that it's better to forget about this as an illusion. And that's not number one. And number two, Hashem created this world as an illusion, as a superficial thing. Somehow it doesn't make sense that the whole world was created as an illusion.
Okay, I'm hearing a few questions.
There's two, yeah, there are more. I have a lot more. I'm
bursting. Well, part of the problem is that you were away during most of this chapter. I mean, you had good reason. You were on vacation.
Perhaps I should have gone on a vacation.
Maybe I shouldn't have gone.
Okay.
That's what the reason was.
No. So the whole Psalm, so the question is, for the benefit of the recording audience, Psalm 30 of David HaMelech, Hashem is thanking Hashem for saving him.
Yeah.
Saving his life.
Life.
So why? He should have said, you should have killed me. Right? Right? Question one. And question two is what? Why did Hashem go through all this trouble to create a world that's so superficial?
Yeah.
So let's start with the second question first. The reason why Hashem created the world to be so superficial is to create for you a venue of choice. That's right. If there'd be a better way to do it, God would have done it in a better way. He feels the best way for you to make your free will choice of wanting to have a relationship with Hashem is to offer other attractive false alternatives. And this world is a very attractive alternative to the next world. Proof is, most people prefer this world than the next world. right? But if you really love Hashem, you will look for him, you will find him, and you will see that he is found buried in this world. And that is, and really, this world is a very sophisticated game of hide and seek. That's what it is. And this is how you're going to find HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. So we should respect and enjoy this to its fullest. Okay, very good. You should. There's only one, because it's a gift from Hashem. How do you enjoy it to its fullest? By using it only to connect to Hashem. And that's how you enjoy it to its fullest.
Fine.
To connect to Hashem. But you realize that this world, though, is only there to be the means to connect you to Hashem. But it's not the world of Hashem. It's not the world of Hashem. It's Shabbos is a taste, of the world to come. And you should use that taste. But you know, you're only tasting it and you're not really in that ultimate place. This whole world is a secondary means of connecting to Hashem. And as long as you're in this world, Hashem wants you to use it this way. And to use this world as a secondary means to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as a means to prove your loyalty to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what this world is for, and you should use this world that way. But the real point of your creation was that once you've proved yourself in this world, now you go to the next world to really get this closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this world will never get you as close to Hashem as the next world can. And God, in his infinite wisdom, designates everyone a certain amount of time in this world. And why he gave one person 80 years and one 20, or one person 20 years, that's his business. We can't ask. We don't know. That we don't know. But he put us in this world to be able to find the way to connect to him. But no matter how great we can connect to him here, it pales in comparison to how we can connect him in the world to come. So so now, the fact that Hashem says, I want you to be in this world, I want you to be in this world. Okay, you're the boss. And I do what you say. Now, if a person's threatening to kill you, you're still in this world. Remember, you're still in this world. If you're in this world, then the Torah says, just like the Torah says to you, get married because you're in this world because it's a tool to get you closer to Hashem. And the Torah tells you how to live with your wife. Torah tells you how to live if somebody wants to kill you. That, you know, someone trying to kill you is only another means to get close to Hashem. Right? When David HaMelech and people are running away from him, are trying to kill him. So now this is another means to get close to Hashem, which does not mean, okay, kill me. That's not, because if that was the case, the Torah would not give laws of self-defense. In fact, the Torah gives laws of self-defense, says, so I want you to show how close you are to me, that in spite of the fact that there's an opportunity to get killed, but the Torah says you still have to try to live. The Torah says you still have to try to live. Why? Because that's, and that will connect me to Hashem. Defending myself from a murderer is no different way to connect to Hashem than making Kiddush Friday night on Chalas of Wine. When someone sends a murderer to kill you, that's just another venue. It's just another way to connect to Hashem. How do you connect to Hashem? You daven to Hashem. You ask better. Why does Yaakov Avinu pray that Hashem should help him when Esau's coming? Say, okay, Hashem, let him kill me. I'm ready to die because there's a Torah that says you still have to try to live. You still have to try to live. That right now, when the guy is trying to kill you, the Torah has instructions of what to do now. What do? You do everything you can to stay alive because that's what Hashem asks you to do. That's all. He says, as long as I have you alive in this world, you do what you can to stay alive in this world. And that's how you connect to me. Because every moment in this world that I'm still giving you is a precious one. To find another way to connect to me. Fine, it's all true. However, once Hashem says, okay, the mission is over, I don't need you here anymore, and now you can come into my world, at that point you say, with the greatest of pleasure, wherever you want me to go.
But when you find a murderer, how are you going to know where you are at? Like,
you don't know. All you know is, as long as there's a breath in your soul, and you are alive, and you have the ability to stay in this world, Hashem demands that you stay in this world. As the Mishnah Berakhah says, against your will, you come into this world, and against your will, you're taken, which has many meanings. And it's always not time to go when you think it's time to go. God says, "I want you still." God says, "You're going to be in this world X amount of years. You don't know how long that is, but I know," says Hashem. "And your job is to stay there the full time that I put you here, because that's the amount of time you need to be here to get the job that I want you to get done." So now nobody knows how long that is. So therefore you are required by the Torah to do what you can to stay alive. Because there is, you know, when you interact with this world, you build your Olam Haba. You build your Olam Haba. And the fact that you self-defend yourself. But here's the difference. Why are you self-defending yourself? Because I love this world and I want to stay in this world another 20 years. And if I defend myself, I can eat another 1,000 chickens before I die. Is that why you're self-defending yourself? Or you're saying only one reason. Really, I could just go. It's easier for me to go. But Hashem insists that I stay alive. Okay, it's the will of Hashem. I have to do the will of Hashem. He wants me to stay longer. I have more, he feels, at least, I don't know, but I have to do what I can to stay here as long as possible, because that's what he wants me to do. And that's why I'm defending myself. But once HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to you, okay, you know, you've spent a good career doing what I want. Now what I want you to do is I want to decommission you. Thanks. Waiting for that decommissioning. An honorable discharge, whatever they call it. You know? And now thank you. Now I'm ready to go to the big dance. Now I'm ready for the real thing. Right? So that's how you balance. David HaMelech, if Hashem saved him, then he knew that he had to thank Hashem for saving him. Because that meant that in other words, David HaMelech always thanked Hashem for every order he gave him. And when he's in the middle, and David HaMelech is different than anybody else, right? People only thanked Hashem when they were saved. David HaMelech thanked Hashem when he was in trouble. He sang praise of God when he was in the middle of trouble. He said, "Thank you, Hashem, you've given me this opportunity to serve you while I'm hiding in a cave and Shaul HaMelech wants to kill me. Thank you so much for giving me a different venue to show that I'm a loyal servant to you." And David HaMelech had so many venues of trying to show that he did whatever Hashem wanted him to do. So when he saves my life, I thank him for that too, because that's the next venue that you want me to live in. But David HaMelech never lost sight of what reality was. This is just another illusion, another hoop that Hashem wants me to find a way. How do you connect Hashem in this situation? We learned earlier in the first volume, never look at something from the supplementary purpose, but look at it for the primary purpose. Right? The supplementary purpose, if I'm alive, yeah, and if I'm alive, I'll get to go to my daughter's chuppah, which is the supplementary purpose, but it's not the main purpose. If I'm alive, that means there are more venues to be an Eved Hashem in this world according to how he wants me to be this Eved Hashem. And if he saves my life, that means he wants me to have more venues. So I thank him that he's giving me more opportunities because that's what he feels is best. But at no point are you afraid of death. You're not afraid of death. When David HaMelech would go to battle, he wasn't afraid of dying. Something to be afraid of, because if you die, that means Hashem is saying, "I've decommissioned you." And now you say, "Okay, so now I get to go to the real party." So that's why you're not afraid of death. You may have to fight against death, but not because you're afraid of death. And that's what made David such a courageous warrior, you see. Because when he went to battle, he never was afraid of dying. Because if I die, it's also okay. You know what it's like? Lahavdil, right? You get to the end of a sports season, you get to the end of the hockey season, and all of a sudden the rotten teams play so well. Right? You ever notice? You know, the team that's twice as good, they need to win one more game and they go into the playoffs. And the worst team beats them 3 in a row. You know what? Because they're not afraid of anything. What do they care? They're not going to no Stanley Cup. They're not going to nothing. They can throw everything at them because we got nothing to lose. The tzaddik who's going to battle says, "I don't know, what do I have to lose? What do I have to lose? It's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu if I live or not, right? I have to try, so I'm gonna give it all I can, because I'm doing because Hashem wants me to do it. I'm gonna make the effort that Hashem wants me to make. But if I'm alive, I'm a winner. If I die, I'm a winner. I'm a winner both ways, because it's the Ratzon Hashem. So there's nothing to be afraid of. Only because Hashem tells us to, so we could further use this world to connect to Him. Let's get to the ultimate point. Why are we fighting to stay alive? Right? Go ask a secular doctor, why are we fighting to keep these people alive? And what are they going to answer? Well, so the person could be entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for a little longer. What will a doctor tell you? Why, Mr. Doctor, why do you do what you do? What do you mean? It's the humanitarian thing to keep people alive. What's so humanitarian about it? Explain it to me, right? What do you mean? They'll be alive. And therefore, what do you mean? And therefore, they'll be alive. They'll be able to enjoy their kids. They'll be able to smell the flowers. They'll be able to look at the light. Really? Oh, is that it? Yeah, that's it. Spending your whole life so people can just have more pleasure? Yeah, that's it. So now that same doctor will turn around and his 89-year-old old bag who has everything going wrong with him, and they say, well, you know, he can't smell any more flowers. He's not going to say anything. You know, all you're going to do is leave him on this for a number of months. There's no quality of life. It's better to give us the DNR instructions. So why? Because there's no quality of life. So now you see that. Now that's not a Jewish doctor. That's not a Jewish doctor. You ask a Jewish doctor, why are you a doctor? Why this? Because as long as I can give them more life, they have more venues to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even when there's an 89-old, dying, decrepit person and everything's falling apart, but even then you're able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu in pain. And that's also a way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's another way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to just say, you know, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, while you're even if you're in pain, then that's the next assignment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if I can keep him alive for one more week, just believing in Hashem when he's under extremely difficult conditions, that is also the Rasan of Hashem, if we're capable of doing this without heroic measures, not crazy measures and things like that. But normal care and try to help the person. Whatever you do with a 20-year-old, do with an 89-year-old. Within reason. You know, say, well, you know, we do nothing, he'll die right away. We'll put him on morphine, he'll be out of the pain, he'll be gone. We don't say that. So here's the question, Shelley. Why do you want to keep that person alive when he's suffering? Right? The answer is because we're only here to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu when you're suffering, which is also a beautiful thing, which is maybe the ultimate final kapara, the ultimate final connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even when it's difficult. So the same person who's going to say, we should save the person so you can walk through the chuppah, will say, let's kill the person, put him out of his pain. There's a fine line. There's a fine line between wanting to live and performing euthanasia, because it's based on the same fact: how much can I get out of this world? If I can't get anything out of this world, so let's kill him. That's not the Jewish way of looking at this world. This Jewish world way is what? How is this going to get me close to Hashem? How is that going to get me close to Hashem? How is anything get me close to Hashem? How is suffering getting me close to Hashem? How does anything get me closer? How does the spilled grape juice get me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right? So, and therefore Hashem says you have to try to live, because that's what I say. I want to see how important it is for you to stay in this world to find the things that will connect you to me. Right? And even if it's painful, I want you to stay in this world. And how about if you're a beggar and nobody respects you and you get no honor? And everybody treats you like a shmata. Wouldn't it be easier to commit suicide then? That's why a Jew never commits suicide. Never commits suicide. Because you understand every situation is, how do you want me to serve you, Hashem? So if you're the beggar after the Holocaust, like we said on Shabbos, so how do you serve Hashem? By going to the bank every day and putting on your tefillin. Right? That's how you serve Hashem every day. And that's why we try to live. We try to live. Because God says, I want you to be here to find the ways to connect to me and build your Olam Haba. Right, and sometimes the most difficult things build the biggest Olam Haba. But then when Hashem says, it's time to tatala, take my hand now. It's time to go. So I've been waiting all my life for you. I've been working all this time to wait for the time to get in. And if you're telling me now, it's a pleasure. I've been waiting. I've been waiting 50 years to come to you. Could have lived longer. What do you mean could have lived longer? Hashem, you know what's best. You're telling me it's time to go now. I'm going to. That's the best thing in the world I could do. That's the best thing I can do. And what's going to be with everybody else who's suffering? You know what? Then it's going to be their way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then Hashem, you're obviously designing that my family has to connect to me through suffering. And that's what you decide. I'm going to argue with you. I know better than you. They have to learn how you connect Hashem when you're in tzar, when you're missing someone you love. You have to learn how to connect Hashem in that way. So then it's your greatest pleasure to go. Because now you know you're leaving the world of illusion. You're leaving the world of trying to have to find a way to be alone with Hashem when all eyes are on you. And when you're Olam Haba, you don't have to play this game anymore. It's simple. It's on a silver platter. Yeah. Can spend his time with his family.
Spending his time with a family that he nurtured. And
okay.
And let's say he wins a lottery and he can retire early. He jumps at the chance because he knows what the reality is. The other guy, and we've all seen them, immersed themselves so much.
They have nothing to do when they retire.
They're lost and they die after they retire. And we've seen it.
Yeah.
Or they go back to work because they have the kids.
Okay.
Don't have them. The kids have no relationship.
Right.
With them.
Okay. It's a good analogy. It's a good analogy. Okay, Shelly gets the last word.
I had one more question.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay. Sam has 2 weeks of questions. What? I answered both, didn't I?
Both?
The first one was, what? Why did Hashem create this illusion? I answered that. And why did David HaMelech thank Hashem for saving him? I answered that too.
The next question was, the giving characteristic that we're talking about so much in the
yes.
chapter.
Yes.
To give
yes.
And to receive.
Yes.
Is this something that is inherited in human beings, or is this something that's acquired?
Is the ability to give inherent in human being and acquired? The answer is, from the body of the human being, it's inherent to be a taker. From the neshama of human being, it's acquired to be a giver. The problem is, one is more in touch with one's body without making effort than one is in touch with one's soul. So without making any effort, you are naturally inclined to take. If you dig deeper into your neshama and you find and feel your neshama, then you can effortlessly give. So and that's the challenge that a human being has. What are you more in touch with? Are you in touch with... What?
It has to be thought.
You have to think it through. You have to do all these things we talk about of bringing out the neshama and feeling the neshama. When you feel the neshama and you're acting on the behest of the neshama is saying, give, give, give. And that's what you want to do. When you're just in focus to the body, then you just want to take, take, take. So that's what he's saying. Inherently, without any effort, we want to take. Even those who give, it's only giving from the satisfaction of giving, which is taking. Right? But to just say, I'm giving and I'm not looking for any satisfaction of forgiving, and I'm not even looking for what's in it for me at all, not even the good feeling of giving, that's a neshama feeling that has to be acquired. It's an acquired taste, as the drinkers say. It's an acquired taste. And it's just as, you know, and initially it's just as painful. Just like when they look, you're gonna learn how to like scotch. You take the first one, yuck. Take the second one, yuck. Eventually you're supposed to like it, right? So the same thing, the body, the soul is forcing the body to do a kindness. Yuck! I don't want to give. It's the body that doesn't want to give. Eventually, then the neshama takes more control, you enjoy the giving. Okay, Shelley.
Okay, real quick. So, further to what Sam's question and the rabbi's answer, in a position of self-defense, you need to preserve or protect your life and act on it.
You have to preserve your life and act on it, yes.
But what about when you take it to a proactive stance, like in Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we say, Kepeni B'Sefer Chaim. Nobody is asking for Kepeni B'Sefer Macy. Okay, not even the author.
The same thing. Proactive is no different than reactive. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let's say it simpler. You look in Sefer Dvarim. Hashem says, behold, I have given before you good and evil, life and death. Choose life! Right? So that's what we're doing on Rosh Hashanah. You're right. Shelley, you're not demarcating between how we live here and then when Hashem says stop living here. Hashem says you have to want to be here and live as long as I allow you to be here. That's my ratzon, is you have to, if you like it or not. I know you would really rather, and that's the chiddush of choose life. Why does Hashem command us to choose life? Because the neshama would rather choose death. You need anybody? Do you need? Think of that pasuk for a minute. What do you need? You need God to tell you to choose life? What kind of bird brain needs God to tell you to choose life? You need a Torah to say choose life? Here, you need God to say, behold, I've given you good and bad, life and death. Now, God, the Supreme Being, is going to give you the deepest insight you never heard from Confucius and from Plato and Aristotle. No, choose life. Oh, a three-year-old could have written that. But that means this, because the talk of the real spiritual person would rather choose death. Would rather choose death because that's the closest you can ever get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem says, no, you have to choose life, and I'm forcing you to choose life. It's my pshat. I'm making it up on the spot, but I think it's Emes. I think Hashem has given me the Emes. No, but I'm saying, because it's the will of Hashem, you have to choose life. And it's the will of Hashem, you on Rosh Hashanah, you have to want to live. Hashem says, I'm telling you, I want you to live. As long as I want you to live, you have to want to live. As long as I'm giving you the opportunity to live, you have to want to live. Okay, that's what you want me to do. I want to live. You tell me I have to, this is the way I'm going to connect to you. And I still have to connect on a superficial level. That's the Ratzon Hashem. You know better than me. But again, what he's saying, if Eliyahu HaNavi comes to you, what does he mean? He says, if God will say now to you, I know for the last 60 years I told you to choose life. Now I'm saying no more. Now it's time to go. And that's beyond what Torah is anymore. Beyond what the Machzor is. Hashem says, the game is over now. The game of life is over. And now I don't want you to live anymore. Now, are you ready or not? Yes, that's what I'm waiting for.
That's what we agree on. But the difference is, you're saying, we can't wait for that day. We want that day to come sooner than later.
That's right. When God decides that it's time to go, we're yearning and waiting for Him to tell us it's time to go. But as long as He doesn't, and He says,
"No, you're not waiting to win the. You're not waiting to die like you're waiting to win the lottery."
No, you wait to win.
So again, so
you wait to cash out.
So Shelley, you're just saying how much avoda we still have to do to get to that level. A Jew holds both concepts simultaneously. As long as I'm alive, Hashem, I really want to be in that next world already. And that's what I really want. But you know what? I have to listen to what you say. And you're telling me I have to be in this world. I still have work to do. I can't retire. So you know what? And I have to do what you want with simcha and with love. And I have to stay, and I have to do everything I can to still do the best job in this world and have to stay alive because that's what Hashem's commanding me to do. So you're commanding me to do this. I'm going to do what you command me to do this. But right, but if the boss will say, you know what, here's $1 million and I'll retire, you don't need to work anymore. Thank you. That's what I was waiting. I was waiting to retire. When can I retire? But till I'm not retired, I have to do the best job I can. I can't loaf around and say, I want to kill myself. You can't do that. Right? So that's the balance of while you're alive and you have the, God says, I want you to be alive, then you have to want to be alive. But the deeper thought always is, when will this stop? When will Hashem change His mind? When will He say, it's been enough? And when it's enough, okay, thank you so much. You've relieved me of this difficult job that I happily did, but now I'm going to go to the level of retirement that's what I've been working for all my life. And everyone is looking for an early retirement. And just because, wouldn't you like an early retirement with benefits to pay for the rest of your life? You do. But till you get that, you're going to be the best worker you can and do the best you can, because that's what you have to do right now. And that's what Hashem is saying. Do the best work you can to be alive now, because that's what I want. Oh, but I wish I could retire so quickly. Well, Hashem says, you're going to have to wait till I give you that call. Until I do, I want you to do that.
I wish I could retire now.
That's the same thing. No. Leaving this world is a retirement from all the avoda that you're doing now. Okay, we gotta stop. We'll continue the next paragraph.